Tonight, that we've been doing in the book of Jonah, and I hate that it overlapped the Sunday school, but I do know this, the more I study, the more I learn, and I've learned things just reading and studying in the book of Jonah, seen some things even today that I had never seen before. And so one thing about the Word of God, we won't exhaust all there is to say about it, but we're going to finish up with chapter number 4. We're going to start and read in verse number 1 down through verse number 11. And this week we're going to see that Jonah learns from the Lord, or I hope he learned from the Lord. The Lord surely gives him a talking to here, and he should have learned something, and I hope we can learn something as well. So Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons?" That's 120,000 people, by the way. But it's not just people, it's persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. And when we see that they could not discern between their right hand and their left, that is generally believed to be referring to children. That there was that many children in the city, not to mention the adults, not to mention all the other people. And then it said, and also much cattle. So we're going to look down through these verses tonight. And Jonah, the book of Jonah, has a missionary theme to it. And I've heard this preached on. I've read a little bit about it, but there's just some things about the book of Jonah that can be compared to a missionary. And we might put it like this: in chapter number 1, there's the peril of the missionary. He ran from the Lord. The Lord told him to go to a certain place. He didn't want to go, and so he ran from the Lord, and it caused a lot of hurt. It caused a lot of loss. Almost loss of life, almost loss of a ship, almost a whole shipload of men could have perished in the sea. And so he ran from the Lord, and there was a consequence of that. And then in chapter number 2, there's the power of the missionary. God put him through an experience that taught him how to pray. And no doubt he was more effective after his experience of being thrown overboard and swallowed by the great fish and being there for 3 days and three nights. He gained something that he did not have before. And so the power of the missionary, God put him through something that taught him how to pray. And you know, sometimes God puts us through things, and it teaches us how to pray. It teaches us how to better walk with the Lord. And so God knows what He's doing when He allows us to go through things in our life. And then in chapter number 3, we preached on this last week. There's the preaching, or the preaching of the missionary. And that he went, he preached, had what we would say just tremendous results, the greatest revival of all time. And we find in chapter number 3 that from the king down to the poorest household, they repented. They believed God. They repented. They cried upon the Lord. They humbled themselves. And God repented of the evil that he would do unto them. So when God sends somebody to a group of people, God intends to bless that people. And it'd always be the Lord's will that they would repent and believe, or believe and repent of their sins and turn to the Lord. And then tonight in chapter number 4, there's the perception of the missionary. And we'll look at that. Jonah learns from the Lord. There's the perception that God wants him to learn. Jonah needs to see things from God's perspective. And so we're going to look beginning in verses 1 through 3. And there's just 3 or 4 things I'm going to try to point out tonight. But in the first part of this last chapter in the book of Jonah, we'll say this. Jonah pouts. Jonah pouts. And that's all that could be said about what is Jonah, what is going on in Jonah's mind and in Jonah's heart, but that he's pouting over what the Lord did in Nineveh. And let's read those verses again. The Bible said, and then we just left off in 3 and 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And so Jonah's got a terrible attitude problem here. In verse number 3, he said, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And I mean, most preachers that I know that really love the Lord and want to please the Lord, why, they'd be thrilled beyond measure to have just went into such a wicked city and preach and have any kind of response. Jonah went into a wicked city, preached, a city of Gentiles, him being a Jew, and he preached and the whole city gets saved. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people get saved. And so is Jonah happy about that? He's not a bit happy about that. In fact, the Bible said that he was displeased exceedingly, and he was very angry. And what in the world kind of problem does Jonah have? Well, he has the same problem that he had in the beginning of the book. And he has the same problem that we have in our lives. Our problem, 99.9% of the time, is not the devil. Our problem, most of the time, is just old self. Old self gives us more trouble than the devil does. And it is self that has given Jonah problems again. We might have thought, well, that would have been taken care of in chapter number 2. But we find that self resurfaces here in chapter number 4. And if you don't recognize that, if you just look at these verses, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Verse number 2, he prayed unto the Lord and said, notice all the I's, me's, and my's here. I. Once again, he thinks it's all about him. I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And my life, me, and on and on and on Jonah goes. He's got a self problem. What's Jonah's problem? This did not turn out the way Jonah wanted it to turn out. See, Jonah wanted it to turn out a certain way. And I notice this, I've never really noticed this before, but as I was studying today, I noticed that this is actually the first time that we hear Jonah's side of the story. You know, we didn't get Jonah's side of the story in chapter number 1. In chapter number 1, he ran from the Lord. We didn't get anything out of chapter number 2 except Jonah didn't want to die. And he's about to die, and he thinks He's going to die, or he thinks that he did die, and he's crying to be delivered, and God does deliver him. Salvation is of the Lord. And in chapter number 3, all we learn that Jonah said in chapter 3 is in verse number 4, he said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." But now in chapter number 4, why did Jonah run from the Lord? Why did Jonah not go to begin with? This is the first place that we find his side of the story. Now, he did not want to perish in chapter number 2, but he didn't care if they perished in chapter number 4. In fact, that's that is the reason why he ran from the Lord. Because he knew, look at verse number 2. He prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled." This is why I ran to begin with. Because look what he says. "I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. And I knew that thou art a merciful God." You see, that's what he's saying. "I knew you were slow to anger. I knew you were of great kindness. I knew you'd repent of the evil." I knew, Jonah says, if I went and preached unto them heathens, that they would believe and get saved and you'd forgive them of their sin and save them. But Jonah didn't want them to get saved. Jonah didn't want them to get right with God. This was the enemy of Israel, and Jonah knew the word of God, and he knew about the Assyrians. Nineveh was called the robber city because that's how they made a living. They went out and they robbed, they overthrew other nations and other cities, and they pillaged and they plundered and they would rob and steal and they would just take what they wanted. And Jonah knew they were a bad, bad bunch of people. And Jonah's probably right. If God did overthrow them, they deserved it. Jonah didn't want them to get saved. Jonah wanted them to get judged. Jonah wanted them to perish. Jonah wanted the whole city to be overthrown because they were Jonah's enemy. And the greatest obstacle any of us has to serving the Lord is just old self and what we want versus what God really wants. And you think about that tonight. We might be more Jonah-like than we would like to admit. Think about your enemies. Would you rather they got saved, or would you rather God just judged them? And I know it might be hard for us to think about that a little bit, but Think about all the radical Islam that there is in the world. You know, those people hate Americans. They hate Christians. They hate our way of life. I read something today. He's talking about a soldier, and he said that if you would take a bomb and strap it to a 10-year-old child and send that child into a group of people to blow themselves up and to kill a whole bunch of more people, he said, that's not got anything to do with religion. That's just pure evil. And that is evil. Well, there's something wrong with them people. They need to be judged. They hate us. Shouldn't we hate them back? They want to kill us. Shouldn't we kill them first? Would we rather see them judged, or would we rather see them get saved? A lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll just have the attitude, whether we got it off of TV, whether we got it through seeing something on the news or something like that, but you know, somebody ought to do something about them people. What about somebody that's done you the worst that you can think of? I mean, generally speaking, you might be a loving person and a kind person, but somebody's done you wrong. Maybe they did you wrong when you were young. Maybe they've cause problems in your family, and you don't, you would say, you know, "Preacher, I don't hate anybody, but boy, there's one or two. Man, they really are. They're my enemy." Would you rather God saved them, or would you rather God judged them? Jonah wanted God to judge the Assyrians, the Ninevites, the Babylonians. He didn't want them to get saved. They were wicked. They were deserving. Jonah wanted them to get judged. And that's his problem. God didn't judge them. God saved them. Didn't turn out like Jonah wanted to. And Jonah said, this is why I ran to begin with. I knew thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And you know, we ought to be thankful tonight that God is that kind of God. Because he's been merciful and gracious and slow to anger and of great kindness towards us once upon a time. But Jonah was a real patriot. I mean, he loved his people. He wanted the best for his people. Now, I'm not throwing a big rock at Jonah, but I read, I'm studying, I'm trying to understand what's going on in his mind. It just didn't turn out like he wanted it to. He didn't have the mind of God. He didn't have the heart of God concerning this. He didn't have compassion. He didn't have pity on these people whatsoever. If we're not careful, we'll be that way towards other people. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's just unless we can get in our lives where we see things through the eyes of the cross, we'll never see the world right like God sees the world. And God sees the whole wide world as a mission field. There's some things we can learn from this. You can be a servant. You can do what God tells you to do. You can actually be used of the Lord and still not be 100% right. Jonah obeyed. He went. He did the strict letter of the law. He did exactly what God told him to do. And God blessed the effort. God saved the city of Nineveh. But Jonah still wasn't right in his heart. Jonah pouts about what God has done. And so we see that he's still got some growing to do. Even though somebody might be greatly used of the Lord, it doesn't mean that they have arrived. It doesn't mean that they still don't have room to grow. Jonah's got room to grow in his Christian life. He could not sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give." Because to me, it looks like a prime time to start a ministry in the city, but Jonah goes out of the city and sits down. And what does he do out there? He pouts before the Lord. And so if we're going to really be what we ought to be for God, old self, and the way we think things ought to be has to be conquered, and it's only conquered through the cross. Now, we see pouts in verses 1 through 3, and in verse number 4, now, here, God is good. Once again, the Lord talks to him about this. The Lord tries to get Jonah to see right. And it says in verse number 4, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Are you doing right in being angry, Jonah? Are you doing well in being angry? We see the verses coming on down that God prepares. Jonah pouts, but God prepares. And there's some things that God prepared in the book of Jonah. In verse number 5, the Bible said, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become the city." Now, usually in the Bible, when you find that a sentence, when it's talking about for example, the book of Nehemiah has this over and over again, "so." And it indicates a period of time. And so the Bible doesn't say how long Jonah preached, how long he was there. But I believe that if we read closely, maybe between the lines, that Jonah has a ministry there for some days at least. And it says in verse number 5 that he went out of the city and made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow to see, till he might see what would become the city. Now, the only timeline we have is in chapter number 3 and verse number 4, where Jonah said, "Yet 40 days. So I think, and I wouldn't argue with anybody, but I think he probably hung around to see if God is going to overthrow the city or if he was going to be saved. He went out and made him a temporary residence. He went out and set up camp outside of the city. And he sat down, the Bible said in verse number 5, he sat on the east side of the city and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become the city. And when we find people in the Bible sitting, usually that's not a good sign. Eli was sitting on the stool when the news came that the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen. He fell backward and he died. Elijah sat under a juniper tree, and the Bible said he came and sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. God didn't call us to sit down. God called us to do something. And so here we find Jonah, and he sits down on the job, and he's his heart and his mind is not right with the Lord. And I'd say tonight, it'd be easy to see that we've all had times in our life when we've sort of sat down on the Lord just to see what he was going to do and ceased to do what we were supposed to do. Looks to me like a lot of little youngins that have liked to heard that story about that great fish that swallowed him up. Don't you think he should have been in there running a rescue mission or something? Teaching Sunday school, furthering what God had started in their hearts, but he's not in the city ministering. He's outside the city, sitting down just watching to see if God's going to kill them all or not. That's what he's doing. I don't believe he's where he needs to be. I know he's not where he needs to be. So the Bible said in verse number 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now in verse number 1, he's very displeased. He's very angry about God saving all those Ninevites. And now there's a gourd, a plant that comes up and gives him a little bit of shade, and he's just tickled to death. He's happy over that. Isn't it amazing things we can be happy over? And he ought to have been happy over all them people that believe what God said. He's not happy over that, but he's happy over this gourd. And I can just see Jonah out there. Maybe he goes down to the creek and gets a little pail full of water and comes back and get some rich soil, and you know, he takes it as a personal project, you know, to just sort of, man, I take care of this thing. But God has a lesson in this thing. God prepared the gourd, the Bible said. And in verse number 7, the Bible said, but God prepared a worm. God prepared a worm when in the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd and it withered. There's three things that God prepared in the book of Jonah. One was the great fish, chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. There's a lesson. God prepared a gourd that offered some shade and relief to Jonah. And God prepared a worm that cut down the gourd, ate the gourd through. I imagine a cut worm is what I think of. And it caused the gourd to wither. And I was thinking about this and studying about this. God doesn't need a whale to get his point across. God can use the smallest thing to get a point across, or God can use the biggest thing to get a point across. A whale is the largest mammal, I guess, in the whole wide world. God used the whale. And a worm is one of the smallest, most harmless, insignificant things in the whole wide world. And you know, in the whole book of Jonah, the only thing that dies is a plant. But death is mentioned and imminent on every page. Chapter 1, the men are going to die. Chapter 1, they throw Jonah overboard. Surely he's now dead. Chapter number 2, he's crying out from the depths of hell. He's dead. Jonah's dead. Chapter number 3, Jonah comes and preaches 40 days, and you're all going to be dead. And chapter number 4, Jonah, I want to be dead. You think God's not merciful in all the tragedy In all the problems, in all the drama, the only thing that dies is a plant. But it preaches a great message. God is surely merciful. Of all the funerals that could have taken place in the book of Jonah, the only thing that dies is that plant. The Bible says it withered away. God prepared these things. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God, what does God do to get His message across to Jonah? The Lord takes what is precious to Jonah. See, nothing is precious to Jonah in this book, not even his own life. Doest thou well to be angry? I do well to be angry, even unto death. That's Jonah's attitude. If all the Ninevites had perished, Jonah would have been happy about it. He obviously didn't care very much about the men on the ship because he was down there sleeping while they were getting ready to die. Jonah doesn't care about anything. But the one thing Jonah's glad about, the one thing, God knows how to get a message to us. The one thing that was near and dear to Jonah's heart was a gourd, and God killed the gourd to get Jonah's attention. And He prepared a worm to do that. Verse number 8, the Bible said, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared. There's four things He prepared. I said three, but there's four. There's the whale, there's the gourd, there's the worm, and there's the wind. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared of a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. That vehement east wind, it means a desert sandstorm, heat storm. If you've ever been in a place like that, it's wouldn't be like around here, just a hot day. It'd be like an oven, big blow dryer blowing on you. Hot, about to die. Jonah's out there in the Sirocco is what it's called. Sirocco, hot wind of cyclonic origin from a heated region. God knows how to turn the heat up. And so Jonah's going to set down on God. God's going to turn the heat up on him. Jonah's got a bad attitude with the Lord. God's going to use these things to speak to him. And the east wind in the Bible, if you study about the east wind in the Bible, God sends the east wind. It blasts, it scatters, it destroys, it separates. Maybe Jonah will break before the thing's over. In verse number 8, the last part of the verse, Jonah said, it is better for me to die than to live. In verse number 9, it said, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Jonah had his mind made up. You talk about being hard-headed. I mean, he didn't love the Ninevites. It would have been fine with him if they all would have died and went to hell. That's what he's mad about. This is his enemy. These people that that God told him to go and to preach to. And here's the interesting thing. Now, I mean, Jonah, he's a prophet of the Lord. But now these heathen people are enjoying the Lord. And Jonah, not a heathen, he can't enjoy the Lord. He'd just soon be dead. He can't even have a good prayer life with the Lord. They're praising the Lord, because the evil God had said he was going to send on him, he's not going to send, and now he's mad. Last thing in verses 10 and 11, love prevails. In verse number 10, the Bible said, and so all this is happening, God's getting a point across. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? The point there, Jonah pitied the plant, but not the people. And what God is telling Jonah there, Jonah, you pitied the gourd, you mourned over the gourd, but you didn't plant it, you didn't make it grow. God's saying, I did. Can you do with the gourd as he sees fit? Jonah didn't plant the Ninevites. Jonah didn't populate the city of Nineveh. That's God's business what he does. It's not up to Jonah to decide, I'll keep the gourd and let the people die. Jonah had no creative means in either one. They all belong to the Lord. And so God uses the gourd to get that point across to Jonah. And I think about Jonah sitting there outside of the city and looking back. And no doubt there would have been a great change among the people. Children happy who maybe had never been happy before, and families together. And the whole city had changed. They believed God. But Jonah can't see any of that. He doesn't get a blessing out of 120,000 children in the city of Nineveh. You know, we sing that song, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. God cares about the children. God cares about the children in Syria and Iraq and all these troublesome places in the world. And somebody might say, who cares about them? Well, the Lord does. I've heard several missionaries give reports about there being a great revival of Muslims coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking their Muslim upbringing, and what a hard time that they have, and them getting saved. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And so here's the interesting thing about the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah just ends. It doesn't say that Jonah changed his mind. It doesn't say that Jonah got right with God. It doesn't say that Jonah died like that. The Bible just does not say what happens to Jonah. There's some lessons in that. It's not that the end of it's missing. That is the end of it. There's the lesson, and God just leaves it there. What Jonah did, maybe we'll find out in heaven, but it just ends. And that's how the Lord operates. The Lord works, the Lord woos, the Lord waits on us, but in the end, it's up to us. It's up to Jonah. What's Jonah going to do? That's up to him. It's up to us. What are we going to do? The book of Jonah teaches us that God loves sinners. God wants to reach them through us. That's some of the things the book of Jonah tells us. The book of Jonah teaches us that Jonah obeyed to the letter of the law, yet he lacked one thing. We do not find that thing in chapter number 4. Paul said it like this. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the great love chapter. He went, he preached, he had a great impact upon the city of Nineveh. I was reading today about the archaeological finds that they found. They found the ruins of the city of Nineveh, and there's two high points, two opposite ends of the city, and one end of the city, there's this huge, huge mound, and it's called Nebi Yunus, and that means in their language, the prophet Jonah. So he did have an impact upon it. I mean, they found that written in that city. The prophet Jonah, big old mound. Did he die there? Did he minister there? Did he stay around there? We don't know. We don't know. But we do know this, if we do everything right, and Jonah technically did everything right after,
the whale vomited him up on the land. And
you know, he did. He went and did what God told him to do. But you can do everything right. And you can be the most strict Bible believer, preacher, Christian that ever was. But if we don't have charity, the Bible says we're nothing. And that's the fault in chapter number 4 in Jonah. He just didn't have any charity. He didn't have any love towards those people. He did it all right, but he didn't have charity. And so, as far as we know, historically, biblically speaking, there was one move of God in Nineveh. Not a second, not a third, not generation after generation. You go and preach in love and somebody gets saved, but if you don't have love after that, it's not going to impact very many people. And they didn't take them long to turn back to their ways that they were before. And they did invade Jerusalem and they went and destroyed. And they done all of those things. So Jonah, the Bible says Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. Jonah is a sign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But in chapter number 4, the thing that I take away is that if all we do, if we don't have charity, if we don't have Christian love, we're still not right. We're still not right obeying in the letter, but it's got to involve this thing that beats within our chest. It's got to involve our hearts for us to be really, really effective. So there's a lot of good lessons in the book of Jonah, and that's a quick little study. We did 4 weeks, 4 chapters. There's 10 verses, 11 verses. And it's helped me. It's helped me as I've looked back over it and prayed and studied in the book of Jonah. So I hope it's been a blessing to you as well. I appreciate your good attention and appreciate you coming out tonight. We'll close with that. Has anybody got anything on their heart or anything before we...